You are about to be inspired, motivated, and your life changed. Are you ready? Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. I am your host, David Mastin. Thank you for joining me, whether it's a morning, noon, night, whenever you're listening to this weekend, weekday. I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. Another episode this week. Now that I'm kind of settled in, I can try to do these a little bit more often. And it's just me, so my son isn't here running around making a whole bunch of noise. You may hear the air conditioner going off right now. Because I'm technically doing this in, I think I talked about this last week, I'm technically doing this episode in like the in-between of my my kitchen and my living room standing up. This is the only place that I can think to do it. I don't have a desk or anything. So yeah, that's what we are. That's where we are right now. But again, thank you so much. I appreciate all of you for just tuning in and listening. Again, please go to godslovem.com, purchase some apparel. Again, it's godslovem, like Mary.com. Purchase some apparel, man, please. All the proceeds go towards trying to make sure we can be consistent with the podcast and with the ministry and do other things and other things within the community and all that kind of stuff. So, thank you. Appreciate you in advance. And everything. Nashville has been going great so far. If you live in the area, and you have some recommendations for like food and all that kind of stuff, send it my way. Still trying to get used to the town and everything. Little Dave, my son, will be here Tuesday, which will be May 25th. So I'm excited about that. Father's Day is coming up, so I'm going to be doing, here's the deal. It is extremely hard with limited resources to, you know, do other things. But, last year I did Thoughts of a Frustrated Father, and it was, probably, one of the best, most reviewed episodes that I have. And, one thing that I want to do this year is I'm going to do a part two to that, but I want you guys to hear some voices of some other fathers who take pride in being a dad and know the difficulties of being a single dad, being a dad that's divorced and single, potentially maybe divorced, married again, but still have kids between the two, just so that we can get some different perspectives. But I wanna do that. That's something that I think I'm gonna start planning on, for the near future. In the meantime, though, again, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate each and every one of you for just locking in and you know, being present in this week's podcast. So, again, apparel, guys, go out, purchase it. I have some new apparel that I just uploaded to the bank, and I have to actually place on the website, but if you have an opportunity or a chance, please go there, check it out, check out some hoodies. It may be a little too cold for hoodie. too hot. But now, depending on where you are, I know a couple of weeks ago, Michigan was still having cold weather. But, you know, there's T-shirts on there, hats, caps, all that kind of stuff. So, again, thank you. All right, getting into today's episode. So, there is nothing if you. I'll start off by saying this. There is nothing more frustrating than individuals who think that God is wrapped around their fingers and they have the judgment of God within their fingertips or their thumbs to write his execution on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. And it's interesting because I don't know a person alive that would not want grace and mercy. Even if you don't believe in God, even if you don't believe in Jesus, and if you believe in Buddha, if you believe in, you know, Allah, whatever you believe in, you want grace and mercy, right? You want somebody to be nice to you even when you make a mistake. You want someone to understand that the mistake that you made, though it was bad, was not the full intent of your heart. But more importantly, man, you want somebody to understand who you are as a person and to be able to relate to that, right? And I say this because this is important to me, because when I first got saved, I thought everybody was going to hell except for me. I mean, I preached about hell. I you know, everybody was gone. If you didn't do what I thought the Bible said was right to do, you was going to hell. Plain and simple. There was no ifs. There was no buts. There was no anything in between. There was no middle ground. There was no anything. I knew that you were going to hell. You were going to bust it wide open. Just, I mean, that's just what I thought. And a lot of times when you first start off preaching, when you preach what you know, right? And when you first start preaching, especially when you're a babe in Christ and you're just starting to go up, you know, you're just trying your best to make it to heaven. You're living for God. You're doing all this kind of stuff and you're doing whatever you can to make sure that, you're doing everything that you can to make sure that people understand who you are genuine, you're sincere, and you want God to know that, right? And so you're sincere, you love him, and you have all this zeal. You don't have a whole lot of knowledge, but you have enough to know who God is, and so all of these different things. And so it's interesting to me. I'm a part of a, man, I'm wondering, y'all know I'm extremely transparent with you, but I don't like pulling other people's business in. I'll say this, I'm a part of a Facebook group, and somebody placed something on there that was just, it was just the most just damning, and I'm not swearing. I'm just saying, when I say damning, I mean just like damning to hell, just dogmatic statement that I've ever heard of. And then you scroll throughout Facebook, you scroll throughout Instagram, and every now and then an idiot gets on and just, you know, you don't live this way, you're going to hell, blah blah blah. It's like my issue is this. There is a gospel that is for everybody. I don't care who you are right now. The gospel of Jesus Christ was for everybody and their sins, right? It was the good news that there is now redemption for your sins. We're not going to act like sin, the word sin doesn't exist. We're not going to act like, and let's get some clarity here to sin. Sin is anything that is outside of the will of God, anything that is outside of God's nature and what he desires for us, right? So is fornication, is having sex before marriage a sin? Yes, we don't need to debate that. It's in the Bible. We know that it is there. It is all throughout every book, every writing, throughout the whole Bible. It talks about that, right? Does that mean that sex is bad? No, sex is great. Sex is amazing. Sex is, God wants you to have sex. He wants you to have a lot of it. He's very pro-sexual activity. However, he is pro-sexual activity within the confines of his parameters that he set up, which is a marriage. Now, we don't, that's not the, we, you can, that is all throughout the Bible. Is it, some people say, well, that's not realistic. Yeah, it is realistic. It's not realistic to your flesh, to you, who you are as a person, because it goes against what you desire. It goes against with what you want. It goes against with what you believe in your human body to be right or to be wrong. So, because of that, you and I have this, because of that, we don't want anyone, even God, to tell us what we can or cannot do, or what is acceptable or what is not acceptable. We don't want anybody to tell us that. And the reason we don't want anybody to tell us that is because it goes against what we desire, what our flesh desires, what our heart desires, and therefore we get offended when someone tells us, hey, this is outside of the parameters of God. I have no problem with that. That's not my hang up in here, right? If you want to tell people about sin or to clarify to someone, yo, this is wrong, even though that person already freaking probably knows that it's wrong. I'm not here to debate that. What I'm here to debate is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the message of salvation to all and all sins. You see, all sins are forgivable and all sins are redeemable. Let me rephrase that. And us who can commit these sins are still redeemable through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no debating that. You cannot debate the grace of Jesus Christ. It is undebatable. You can come up with every logic that you want, but everybody, I don't care who you are, I don't care where you are, has this gift called grace if you want it through Christ Jesus. Every last single one of us has it. I'm not here to hang up on this. Here's, and I'm getting a little worked up. Y'all, excuse me. So here's where I have a problem. Here's the issue that I have. People have this audacity. I've never seen this bit of audacity, this unmitigated gall to try to condemn somebody to a hell that you yourself was almost going to. This is what baffles me. I've never seen people with this type of audacity that wants to send everybody to hell, but don't want to rescue nobody to heaven. I'll give you an example, and this will give clarity of where I'm coming from. I was reading in the book of Jonah where Jonah, God told Jonah to go to, and I gotta hurry this up along because my time is getting away from me. And I sound so preachery when I say that. I was reading in the book of Jonah, and Jonah starts off with God telling him to go to Nineveh and to preach his word that they might repent of their sins. And Jonah, he disregards everything God says. Now, in the beginning, it does not say what Jonah said to God. It just says that Jonah heard the word and he fled. He went to Tarshish. He went down to a boat. He got into the boat and he tried to travel as far away from God as he can. Now, as silly as that may sound, some of us do the same thing Jonah did. And what I mean by that is that a lot of us have callings on our lives. A lot of us were made and created to do certain things. A lot of us were made and created to be vessels of God, to be used by God. But a lot of us think that we can run from this great big God by going in the total opposite direction of him, by total opposite direction of what he's called us to do. We don't want to embrace the calling of God because we have people that say you don't want this, and you don't want. No, listen, to be used by God is glorious. To be used by God is a privilege and an honor. Why wouldn't you want that? All of us should want to be used by God. Ignore people that tell you, oh, you don't want this, that you don't want to be used by God. You don't want it. That's their idea of false humility, to try to make themselves seem bigger than what they are by trying to produce negative of what they've been called to do. All of us should want to be used by God. All of us. Is it fun all the time? No. Is it pleasant all the time? No. Is it something that you desire? No, not all the time. However, to be used by God is an honor, and we should count it a privilege to be used by God. So I digress. Jonah is now getting ready to go he gets into this boat. He goes to Tarshish. He gets into the boat. God sends a huge storm to the boat. The crew is amazed. They don't know. They know that this storm is not normal. They believe that the storm is that some god, they don't know who, is sending this, because this crew that's on this boat is non-believers. And so they begin to toss lots, almost like tossing dice to see where the dice lands. Who's it going to fall on? And it goes to Jonah, and they confront Jonah. They say, Jonah, why, what's going on? What did you do to God to make him do this? And Jonah tells them, he says, I'm the reason the storm is here. And I'm the one who's here. They ask him, what God you serve? I serve the Almighty God, Yahweh. That is the God that I serve. And then they're trying to save Jonah in the boat. And Jonah tells them, listen, the only way you're going to get this storm to stop and all of y'all live is you got to throw me overboard. One thing I don't want to be is I don't want to be the cause of somebody else's demise because of my disobedience. I'm sorry. I don't want anyone to be affected by me because of my disobedience to God. I want everybody next to me to be blessed. I want everybody connected to me to be blessed. I want, if you are connected to me, I want it to be said, it was a blessing that I got to know David. It is a blessing that I got to know who David is, because he is connected to God. And because he is so connected to God, he has made my life blessed. Some of us are cursing family members. Some of us are causing trouble for friends and relationships because you refuse to do the work of the Lord. And hear me clear. God will not stop the storm until you get your butt back on the right path and do what he called you to do before the foundations of the world. You have no option. Your family is at stake. Your friends are at stake. And as long as you keep being disobedient and ignoring God's calling on your life, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you did. I don't care how many times you did it. If God called you, God is going to continue to call you until you do what it is that he said you could do, because that is the kind of love God has for us, that even when we stray him, even when we leave him, even when we disobey him, he still calls us to be his own. So he sends the storm. The Bible says they throw Jonah over, and when they throw Jonah over, the Bible says that a fish grabs Joe, swallows him whole. And while Jonah is in this fish's belly in his mouth, and while he is there, he begins to confess to God. He begins to ask God for forgiveness. He begins to ask God for grace. He begins to ask God for mercy. He repents that he ran. He repents and asks God to save him and to rescue him and to bring him back and to bless him. And the Bible says, to make a long story short, because chapter 2 of Jonah is powerful. Jonah's confession is powerful. If you have time, please go back and read it. But the Bible says that Jonah gets back up. He's in the belly, and the Bible says that after Jonah does his confession, he was in the belly for 3 whole days. And the Bible says that after Jonah gave his confession to God, that God causes the fish that was condemning him to put him on dry ground, spits him up. Whew, some of us. God, I thank you. Some of us that have went through traumatic experiences in life, God is going to use those traumatic experiences that you were in that storm to put you back on to dry ground. And the Bible says that Jonah goes and he preaches to Nineveh, and something that doesn't always happen back in that day. Something occurs. Jonah goes to Nineveh. He preaches God's word to them to repent of their sins. And guess what? Nineveh had the nerve to repent of their sins. Oh God. And Nineveh gets it right with God, and God repents of his anger towards Nineveh. This is amazing. This is amazing. This is doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't even happen all the time with Israel, where Israel gets preached to 1,000 times to repent for their sins and never does it, right? But they go to this city, this Assyrian city, and goes into Nineveh, and the Ninevites, they repent of their sins. Great. Awesome. They're safe. They're saved. They're safe. And Jonah had the audacity to be mad at God. And I'm going to show you where he was mad at God. I got to read this to y'all, man, because this is crazy. This is amazing. And in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art gracious, a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord asked Jonah a question. He says, "Doest thou well to be angry?" In other words, Jonah, you mad? Jonah, you're angry? Jonah, do you have the right to be angry? Now, wait a minute, Jonah. You just went and did the exact same thing that these people been doing. You just did it. And I forgave you. I saved your life. I had mercy on you. And you mad because I decided to save a whole nation? Oh man, that I decided to save a great country and a great nation, and you're not celebrating with them. You're not excited over them. Every last single one of us should be glad of the gospel and the grace that is available, and should be willing to preach it to all people, because it is what saved us. God just got you out your mess and your wickedness. He didn't condemn you. All them times you stepped out on him, all the men, all the women you slept with, that you should be getting shots right now to recover from, all the sins God had to deliver you from, all the jacked up mess God had to save you from, and you don't want somebody else to be saved? You don't want to forgive somebody else? You don't want somebody else redeemed? What type of audacity
would you have? And this is the cause of why I had to come talk about this. And this is why, because a lot of times, the only grace we want is for ourselves. The only time, now, mind you, Nineveh and Jerusalem and Israel did not like each other. History says they didn't like each other. They didn't like being around each other. They were always at odds. They disliked each other a whole lot. So for Jonah to go to Nineveh is huge, right? It's a big deal. And the language, the Hebrew language, is strong for Jonah when he's talking, because it is expressing this deep, dark anger that he has that God redeems Nineveh. And this is what Jesus says in regards to enemies. He says that you should love your enemies and that you should do kind to them, and that you should be gracious to them when they do you wrong. Because it shows the grace, the mercy, and the love of God. When somebody is not living to your standards, because most of the time when we condemn people for sin, it's not for real sin, it's for what we deem is a sin or what we deem is unnecessary. But what I love about this scenario and about this situation is this. This is what I love about it, is that it says here that It shows us the attitude of some of us. Some of us only want grace for self. Oh, it's good that you saved me, God. But the abuser y'all not ready for this conversation. I don't know how many of y'all are mature enough for this conversation. But the abuser and the murderer and the other sins that we don't want them saved. We don't want them. We can't forgive them. Come on, y'all. I'm not saying that sin is right. I'm not saying that the person who offended you is right. I'm not saying that the person who did whatever they did was right. No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that the same grace that was afforded to you and the things that you did should be the same grace that you afford somebody else in what they did. Am I saying don't hold them accountable? No, I'm not saying that. Am I saying even to restore the relationship? No, I'm not saying that at all. That's between you and God. Because sometimes God allows people to do silly things to show you that they are not supposed to be there. But that is not always the case. Sometimes people make very bad decisions because they are human. And they are learning and they are growing, and they made a terrible decision, but that is not their heart. That is not what they are. We talked about this last week, that David being murderous and being vicious. That was not David. That was not David's true heart. But he made a mistake. It was a terrible one. It's not trying to downplay what anybody does. And all I'm saying to us today on this episode is that y'all, the same grace that you want for you, how dare you have the audacity, which is the title of this episode. How do you have the audacity to not want that same grace for somebody else? I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen such a selfish salvation where you want to be saved, but you don't want nobody else. Oh, you wasn't that bad. What are you talking about? What's wrong with you? You was just as bad. Your nasty self. Some of y'all was just as bad as the worst sin you can think of. Oh, but because it wasn't that bad in your eyes. No, you just watered down what you did. And you know what's sad about watering down your sins? You water down the blood of Jesus. No, you need to confess and remember the stuff God had to deliver you from so you do not ever forget, so that you don't ever forget of the grace and the mercy of God that had to come and save you out your nasty mess. What is wrong with you? How dare you? The same grace that God has given you is the same grace that we should give to others. It's the same one. And so as I pray, I'm asking God to help us in that we remember this wonderful gospel, this wonderful grace and mercy and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, and that we celebrate it, that we don't downplay it. And that same hope that somebody had for you, you have for somebody else. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much. I praise you, Father, because none of us would be here if it wasn't for you. I know some people don't give you credit for it. And I know that, God, some people don't acknowledge you for it. But the fact remains that if it had not been for you, Jesus, all of us would have been gone a long time ago. This world would be even in more chaos, God, had it not been for you. We would all still be lost. We would all still be gone. And Father, we give you your credit today. We give you your honor and your glory, God, because you are an amazing God. And without you, we wouldn't make it. So Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. God, we remember the grace that you had for us and ask that same grace that you've given us, you give to somebody else. That you love them, that you care for them, and that you lift us all and help us to be the best that we can be. Father, we won't point our fingers at others. Father, we put our stones down. We were wrong to ever pick them up. And God, we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor. Help us, redeem us, forgive us. And let your love be proven in our lives each and every day. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Remember, godslovem.com. Please go purchase some apparel, purchase some t-shirts for you and your family. I appreciate you all for joining me on today. It was so much fun. It was such an honor. And again, I thank you. I praise you. I thank you and I praise God for you, and for you all tuning in. All right. Y'all be good. Peace.
Make sure you subscribe to the I've Got Something to Say podcast and all your podcast streaming services.